There are some 500,000, I would say, churches. About 500,000 churches. Almost all the churches are small. Sometimes we see mega churches and get the idea that all churches are big, but no. The average size of a congregation in the United States of America is 75 people. 75 people. The sad thing about churches in North America, 5% of churches in North America are dying. What we mean by that is there are shrinking in their attendance, in their membership. The membership is growing older. Younger people are not being added to the body of Christ. There is little evangelism that is going on in the United States of America. And so the church, as we know it, the denominational church especially, is stagnant and it's dying. Here's the good news. Still, 40% of people say they go to church weekly. I mean every week, not just weekly. Some people go to church very weekly. Amen. Let's go strongly. Let's go powerfully. Let's go worshipfully. But they go to church every week, 40% of people in North America. 56% of the people in North America say that religion is very important in their lives. So where do these people go to church? Where do these people go to church? I'm going to tell you that it's different than it used to be. You perhaps have noticed, but commitment is a difficult thing in this age. It's difficult to get people to commit to anything, as Brother Davis said this weekend. It's not easy to get people committed to anything in this day and this time. Denominational loyalty that used to be a big thing is not near as big as it used to be. People are not looking at labels like they used to look at labels. People used to say, whatever religion, I'm this religion. My father was this religion. My grandfather was this religion. We'll all die this religion. But you know what? That's changing today. That's not necessarily so anymore. People today generally choose churches, and this is difficult to say, because they like the pastor. People leave churches because they don't like the pastor. So guess what? It puts a lot of pressure on the pastor, more than it has ever put on pastors before. It's a difficult time that we live in. In this age, when it's more challenging than it's ever been before, the quality of ministry, I'm talking about church world, I'm not talking about United Pentecostal Church alone, I'm talking about all churches. It's difficult to get preachers anymore. There are Catholic churches that don't have priests. There are Christian Protestant churches that don't have pastors. It's just not something a lot of people are going into anymore. A lot more going out than coming in. Amen. So these are just facts that we're dealing with today in reaching our world. It's a different time, isn't it? We've never seen a day quite like this time. Amen. It's different than it's been in times past. Amen. But I want to tell you tonight, the key to survival, and not only survival, but revival, is evangelism. Amen. Now, in order to evangelize any community, you have to understand its culture. And you have to go after what pleases that culture, regardless of whether it pleases you or not. Amen. Praise God. Now, you can preserve just your culture, and there eventually that assembly will die. All of us are marked by our generation. Some, perhaps here tonight, you know, or maybe even were a part of the Great Depression. Anybody know anybody come through the Great Depression? Were they marked by that experience for the rest of their lives? They never forgot it. They never got over it. Those that went through World War II, it made an impression on them. They never forgot That generation never forgot the experience that they went through. Each of us here tonight, we have certain things. The thing that we went through mainly in my generation was the hippie movement in the 60s and the 70s. And it forever changed the face of North America. Sadly, it changed it for the worse, not for the better. But it forever changed the face of North America. It'll never, ever be the same. It changed the entire world. Amen. And so we're dealing with some things, and now we're in a totally different age, totally different time. You see, folks, the fact of the matter is you're always having to reach the older, have to reach the younger. It's not enough to say, well, I don't like the way young people worship. I don't like the way the young people sing. Well, you better like it. Or at least get used to it. Because if you want to do it the way you've always done it, there won't be any young people. There won't be another generation. Amen. You see, we always have to be reaching for our future. Not just simply pandering to our past. If we do that, you see, there's got to be a balance in church. That's what I was saying a moment ago about some of the old songs. We need to preserve and appreciate our heritage, but at the same time, we have to be reaching the present generation. We can't ignore the present and just try to preserve the past. So that's the challenge of the church. Amen. But you know what I believe today? A spirit-filled church, a hot Holy Ghost revival church, we can still reach this present generation. Amen. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost never goes out of style. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. It'll reach any generation. It'll touch any people. It does the same today as it did the first church in the ancient times and Bible times. It has not changed. Let me just say this tonight. What we have struggled with as a church most all of my life is to reach what we would call a pre-evangelized culture. You, many of you that are my age and older, people that we tried to reach were already saved. It was a pre-evangelized culture. They already knew about Jesus. They already had their church traditions and ideas. They already had a lot of their doctrines set and settled. They didn't know about the power of the Holy Ghost, the gift as we know it today. Amen. But it was difficult to reach many of those people because they had already received a measure of truth. My brother was stricken with, or received, or should, how should I say it, caught pneumonia in the hospital. The worst place in the world to get pneumonia is in the hospital. Because the strain of pneumonia that you get in the hospital is one that is already built immunities to almost all antibiotics. It's a very, very strong strain of pneumonia. It has, everything's been thrown at it, and it's got used to it until it's extremely hard to cure. Amen. It's the same with Christianity. People that have known a measure of Christianity, sometimes it's difficult for them to get any deeper or go any further than what their parents received, their grandparents received, and what they've already received. Amen. So sometimes it's difficult to go a little bit further than it was in the past. But you know what? We're reaching a culture today that by and large knows really very little about Jesus Christ. They really don't know. They may know the name, they know the historical figure, but to have a personal experience, they know very little about Jesus Christ. We have never in our lives been more evenly matched with a generation that was like the times of the apostles than right now. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when the apostles started preaching, do you know how many Christians there were? Very few. There were 12, and then there were 3,000, And then there were 5,000 added. And then there was 8,000. Jerusalem was filled with their doctrine. And they went to Samaria, and they went to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, until finally it was said that it was actually in Caesar's household. He couldn't keep it out, no matter how hard he tried. And it said, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. In one generation, they reached a pagan society with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How did they do that? Let me tell you how they did it. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm telling you tonight, this church started in the power of the Holy Ghost. And there's not any place for us to do anything differently. We've got to keep preaching this gospel of power and resurrection. Hallelujah. Hey, there's no backing up. There's no backing down. There's no going back. We were born in the fire, and the smoke just won't do. Hallelujah. Hey, we don't need to be some kind of false Pentecostal, some kind of pretense, some kind of counterfeit, but we need to be just as real today as they were on the day of Pentecost when this thing first fell. Hallelujah. That's how we're going to reach our generation with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know, friend, this thing will save anybody. Going back tonight, today, to our text from Matthew chapter 5, I want you to look here at the different people that Jesus reached and is recorded in that one chapter. You talk about a difficult situation. When Jesus stepped out of that boat at Gadara onto the seashore, and this man came running toward him, it would have scared the daylights out of any of us. The man didn't have any clothes on. His body was covered with scars and with sores and with bleeding wounds, where he picked up rocks and literally tore his flesh. His hair was matted, uncombed and unkempt. His eyes were wild. His face was twisted. His countenance tormented. And he came running to where Jesus was. What are you going to do with a situation like that? But the Bible says, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to count and depend on the Holy Ghost to step in and make a difference. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said that when that man got to Jesus, he fell at his feet and he began to worship. Let me just say this. Don't forbid anybody to worship Jesus Christ. They may not look like you want them to look. They may not dress like you want them to dress. They may not be living like you think they ought to be living. But don't forbid anybody to worship Jesus Christ. That's how the power starts. That's how the door opens. That's how the heart is prepared. Let people worship God. Better than that, just get in there and worship with them. Hallelujah. Hey, it ought to be a shame that anybody in the world could out-worship Pentecostals. Hello? I said it's a shame that anybody could out-worship Pentecostals. Amen. Hallelujah. It just ought not be. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he fell down at his feet and he worshiped him. As far as I can tell, he didn't pray a prayer. But Jesus began to talk to the man. And he asked his name. And the devils in him spake and said, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he began to rebuke the spirit, saying, Come out of him. Amen. And the Bible said that the spirits came out of that man, and they went into a herd of swine that was feeding nearby, and they ran off of a cliff into the sea. That's the first incidence I know of deviled ham. Amen. Amen. Pigs are pretty dirty critters. They love mud and muck and filth. Amen. They'll eat anything, but they can't abide an ugly spirit. When that old filthy, vile spirit that was in the man went into that huge herd of swine, they couldn't handle it, and they ran off and drowned themselves in the sea. Amen. And the Bible said the people that were watching all this going on, they ran back into the city. I'd like to have been there for that story. I can just see them running up to their boss saying, Sir, we got some good news and we got some bad news. He says, What's the good news? He said, You know the man that was possessed of the devil, the demoniac? He said, Oh, I know about him. He said, He's not possessed anymore. He's been set free. He's been delivered by a man called Jesus. And he said, What about the bad news? They said, You know those pigs you used to have? He said, What do you mean, used to have? He said, Well, when those old spirits came out, a demoniac went in your pigs and they drowned themselves in the sea. The Bible says the whole city came out to see what happened. I can just see, if it was our day, I can see them there. I can see the environmentalists with their little signs marching around about the pigs and the poor pigs, and PETA was there and weeping over the dead pigs, and the environmentalists carrying their little signs of give a hoot, don't pollute, and they're having a time. Everybody's got a reason being there. And yet they missed the miracle, because there in their midst was a miracle. He was just a demoniac man, all messed up, without any hope, hopeless, nothing could be done. Everything had been tried. He was worse than he'd ever been. And he was sitting there. Everybody say, sitting. He was not running. He was not growling. He was not groving. He was sitting, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. But a lot of people didn't see that. They saw dead pigs. They saw polluted water. Amen. They saw dollar signs. They saw a messed up economy. They didn't see the miracle. Hey, we may be living in some tough times, but let's don't let the troubled times blind us to the miracle that is ours. Amen. Praise God. You know what? The Bible said that those people told Jesus he had to go. The only one that could do what he did. But they said, You gotta go. And he did. Let me just tell you, he's not going to stay where he's not welcome. You don't want him, he will not hang around. So he got in his boat. His new convert. Now let me just tell you, this guy was just a few hours old in the gospel. He hadn't graduated from seminary. He hadn't been to Bible school. He hadn't read the Bible through. Amen. I'm telling you, the guy was brand spanking a new convert. And he said, Jesus, I want to go with you. But Jesus said, no. He said, you stay here and you go and tell your friends and tell your family what great things God has done for you. Let me tell you, you don't have to be a Bible school graduate. You don't have to have a certificate or a graduation diploma from a seminary. If you know what great things God has done for you, nobody can doubt your witness. If you know Him in the power of the Holy Ghost and His miracle power, hey, nobody can take that away from you. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus got in the boat and left him there. I'd love to have been there, though, wouldn't you? When he went back into town, and I can see people saying, slamming doors. Blinds coming down, people running for cover. Ah, the demoniacs coming! They had heard him scream in the night for years. People were afraid to go to the cemetery by themselves. They were afraid to encounter him anywhere because he was a maniac. He was crazy. And everybody was so fearful. But I'm telling you, when he came into town that day with tears running down his cheeks, he was saying, I'm not a demoniac. Hallelujah! A man called Jesus commanded the spirits to leave, and they are forever gone. That's how you reach the world. Amen. That's how you reach the world. You go with your testimony and you tell people what you used to be and what God has done for you. That's how you reach the world. Amen. You know what? I don't have time to go into this particularly, but if you'll skip over a few chapters, I believe it's about the end of chapter 7, beginning chapter 8, verse number 1, maybe. The Bible said when Jesus came back over there again to visit that same place, the Bible said there was a multitude waiting for him on the shore. Where did that multitude come from? I'm going to tell you, they came from the testimony of one man that was a miracle that had experienced the power of God's delivering presence. And everywhere he went, he told his story. Amen. And people said, if Jesus did that for you, can he do this for me? He said, if he can do this, he can do anything. If he'll do it for me, he'll do it for anybody. So when Jesus came back to that particular place, there was a multitude waiting for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, this gospel is still powerful. Hallelujah. It hasn't lost any of its power. Amen. That was the man. Now Jesus dealt with a woman. The Bible said there was a woman that had an issue of blood. She was so expensive. She lost all of her money. And the Bible said she was not any better, but instead, she was getting worse. Man, I love this. The Bible said, but when she heard of Jesus. Now, I don't know who told her about him. I don't know if it was a child or a woman or a man. I don't know what the circumstances were, but somebody told her about Jesus. Now listen, when you tell people about the Lord, you don't know where they are, and you may not know their need, but you may be just exactly the person to tell them, and they may just come to find out if Jesus can do what you said he can do. We've got a lot of people in this world that are in all kinds of needs. But I'm telling you, Jesus still is the answer. And she heard about Jesus. And the Bible said she was going to try him out. She came and she saw this crowd all around him. And she got in her head somehow, somewhere, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole. And she began to press her way through that crowd. With that weak, trembling hand, she touched that blue ribbon that was at the bottom of his robe. And suddenly, virtue went into her body. And she felt strength and healing go through her. Amen. Her disease was gone. And health and life was coursing through her veins. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the crowd said, "Well, just look around, Lord. There's people everywhere." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Somebody touched me." He said, "Because I felt virtue go out of me." Now, you can pat a cake for Jesus, and you can go through the motions, but you know when you've had church. You've touched Jesus Christ. I've touched Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We can come to church and we can see, well, it's his. Why not? I'm going to tell you tonight, the gospel hasn't changed. I'm going to tell you tonight, the doctrine hasn't changed. I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus hasn't changed. Amen. What is it that changed? It's you and me. But if we'll come back with that same heart hunger and that same fervency of worship and that same deep-seated desire, we'll receive every time we need from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. He hasn't changed. Hallelujah. Amen. He did it for the man that was demoniac. He did it for the woman with the issue of blood. Amen. And he did it for a little girl. Her distraught father met him on the seashore when he came back from Gadara. He said, "My little daughter's lying at the door of death, and I need to come and touch her, and I believe that you can make her whole." Jesus said, "I'll go." He got interrupted by this little lady, amen, that needed healing. And he stopped for just a moment. And about that time, the servants caught up and said, "Don't trouble the master anymore because your daughter's dead." Amen. And Jesus just turned around and he said, you just believe. It's going to be all right here. Amen. Went on down and said, "Show me where she is." Went inside. People bawling and squalling and hollering and carrying on. Amen. And going inside there. It's amazing. People that you've never seen before may show up in a situation like that. Went inside and Jesus sent them all out except his inner circle. Amen. James, John, Peter. Amen. Parents, he said, "Now you used to hear." And he walked over to the little girl that had stepped over into the celestial. And he walked over and took that cold form. And he spoke to her. And he said, "Tabitha," he said, "I want you to arise." Amen. All of a sudden, the flesh of health came back to her. Cheeks were rosy. Amen. Her eyes fluttered open. Amen. They were sparkling with happiness and joy. She sat up, amen, with strength in her body. Hallelujah. Praise God, Mom and Dad. When they finally got the breath, amen, started praising God. You talk about an exciting moment. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, there's still power in this gospel. Amen. You know what we've got to remember? It doesn't matter how dark it gets in the world. The church and Jesus is still the light of the world. Hallelujah. We still know the light. If somebody said it's getting awfully bad, but we know the King of Righteousness, hallelujah. Somebody said trouble on every hand, but we know the Prince of Peace, hallelujah. Somebody said the world's a dying, but we know the Author of Life and Resurrection. We know Jesus Christ. The church still has the answer. And we can't forget that, folks. Hallelujah. We must not forget that. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost tonight. Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. He knew that he was in Greece. Amen. In Corinth, those people, I mean, they came up with the great orators. They knew how to give a speech. Boy, could they ever. They could argue any point. They were great in oratory. He said, that's not what I came in. As a matter of fact, you read a little further in one of his, in the Corinthians, and it says that he was weak and feeble. Amen. And he didn't speak very well according to the Greeks. Let me tell you something. You're not going to win people in the world with your great speech and your great oratory. Amen. There's people, no matter how good you preach, there's somebody who'll preach better. That's not what it's all about. It's not about learning how to argue. But it's about the Holy Ghost. It's about demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. That's what it's all about. It's about walking in holiness. It's about separated from the world. It's about knowing your God and doing exploits. Hallelujah. It's about being filled with the Holy Ghost and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. It's about being kind and generous and faithful and loving and patient and long-suffering. Amen. It's about being a Christian in an ungodly world. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm telling you, it'll still work. It'll still work. It hasn't lost any of its power. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost was powerful enough to move on the face of the deep. Amen. And the darkness became light, and land appeared, and grass covered the ground, and trees sprung up, and rivers flowed, and the tide was settled. Amen. And the demarcation of the wall of the well of the waves came in and went out. Amen. Stars were put in the heavens. Moon and sun appeared. I'm telling you, that's all power of the Holy Ghost. Birds filled the heavens. Fish filled the waters. Beasts covered the pastures. Amen. God created a man, formed him from the earth, and then God drew a breath and blew it into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost still has creative power. He can still do whatever needs to be done. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation or a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you are a Christian, you live in a brand new world. Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You may go back to the same house, but it's different. You may go back to the same family, but you're different. But you're different. But you're different. You're not like you used to be. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. He can not only take the beer bottle out of somebody's hand, he can take it out of their heart. He not only can take a needle out of somebody's veins and peels out of their system, he can take it out of their heart. Amen. He can get the desire out of them. Amen. So that they don't long for those things anymore and don't want those things anymore. Amen. Paul said, the things I used to love, now I hate. The things I used to hate, now I love. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's still the same today as it was way back then. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, it walked Israel out of Egypt. It got in the heart of a bunch of Egyptians, and somebody said, I sure do like that beautiful silver plate over there. And they said, well, you can have it. Amen. I like that golden goblet. Well, you can have it. I like this. I like that. Well, you can have it. Amen. You know what God was doing? They'd been in that place working without wages for 4 years, and God said, it's payday. Hallelujah. And they were getting paid for 400 years of labor. And when they came out of Egypt, there wasn't nothing left behind. Hallelujah. Hear me. There's still not anything to go back to. If it was miserable when you came to God, it's still miserable now. If you were dying out there then, you'll be dying if you go back. There's nothing to go back to. Amen. When he got them out of Egypt, marching them across and providing for them manna from heaven, water from a rock, hallelujah. They had an air conditioning cloud in the daytime and a heater in the night. I'm telling you, folks, their clothes never wore out. 40 years. And I'm sure they complained about wearing the same outfit and the same shoes. Amen. I know people would today. My daughter would be at the top of the list. Amen. But here they are marching, being provided miraculous by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just like he delivered people then, he delivers people now. It was out of Egypt then. It's out of sin today. Amen. The same Holy Ghost power. I love the story. Whenever Israel was vacillating, didn't know who to, they were confused, didn't know who to follow. Their leadership had turned their back on God. They got all confused. God sent a prophet by the name of Elijah, and he said, meet me at Carmel. And he said, you bring the prophets of Grove and the prophets of Baal. We're going to meet up there, and we're going to have a showdown. Hallelujah. He said, we're going to offer a sacrifice, and the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Amen. They got up to the mountaintop. Amen. He said, y'all go first. Amen. And so they made their altar. And they started, they got their sacrifice ready. And they started their worship rituals, whatever they were. Amen. And nothing was happening. You can go to a place that's got beautiful rituals, but if there ain't nothing happening, if nothing's happening, that's not the right place. Oh, I love the rituals. Well, great. But is anything happening? Amen. I love that little lady that visited the great cathedrals of Europe, and they talked about the beautiful cathedrals and how long it took to build them and how much they cost and how old they were and who would fill the pulpit and who was buried in the floor. They literally bury them in the floor, don't they, Brother Gidry? Amen. People ever cost a lot of money to get buried in the floor of a church. And they were going on and on and on about all that and all the statesmen. And finally, tour guide took a breath and he said, any questions? Little lady raised her hand. She said, yes, sir. She said, hey, has anybody been saved here lately? It's not about who's buried in the floor. It's not about who filled the pulpit. But has anybody been saved here lately? That's all that matters in the church, folks. I said that's all that matters in the church. It's not about how many people are in the pew. It's not how beautiful the facility is. It's not how great the pulpit is. It's not how great the choir is. It's not how great the music is. The bottom line is, has anybody been saved here lately? That's what matters. That's what matters. Amen. They got it all ready. They did their rituals. They were beautiful. After a while, they turned ugly. He's not hearing. So they started dancing. Amen. Yeah, they can dance too. Yeah, they started dancing. And that didn't work. They started cutting themselves. They started mutilating themselves. You got to pay attention here, Baal. This is a showdown. I don't know anything about you. You know, you've never done anything for us in the past, but we sure need you to do something here today. Elijah wasn't very nice. He was over there saying, "Hey, shout a little louder. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's asleep. Shake him up." Amen. The Bible said they just kept going till time for the evening sacrifice. They said, "That's enough." Kind of sad. It says, and he repaired the altar that was broken down. There's the problem. How's your altar? Does it need repairing? If it does, repair it. If it does, repair it. Take care of it. Maintain it. Got the altar built back up. Then he prepared the sacrifice. And he said, "I want you to bring some barrels of water and pour it on here." They poured them on. He said, do it again. 12 barrels of water. Water in the trench. Sacrifice literally soaked. Amen. He prayed a 63-word prayer. And the Bible said fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And the people began to shout, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Because they saw the fire. Amen. There's unbelievers. There's atheists today that when they get in this presence, amen, they're going to start saying, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. There's the Lord, He is God." Amen. There's drug addicts today that need to call down the aisles of this assembly saying, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Amen. Sinners of every kind saying, "The Lord, He is God." We see the fire. We feel the flame. The power of the Holy Ghost is in this place. The Lord, He is God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Telling you, friend, when the fire falls, exciting things happen. Texas camp meeting. We had one of those services like we have at Texas camp meeting. People running the aisles. The fire was falling. Amen. There was a man there. First time he'd ever been in a Pentecostal service. He lifted up his hands. Somebody laid their hands on him and started praying for him. He got the baptism of the Holy Ghost almost before he knew what happened. And when he got through talking in tongues, he began to try to explain. He said, "I'm an atheist." Wrong. Were. You're a believer now. Hallelujah. Praise God. And my wife witnessed to a man that talked to a man back in Bible college days. The guy that he was the head of the Christian Science Church. And they're the folks that don't believe there's any matter. You're not sick, you just think you're sick. You quit thinking you're sick, you'll be all right. Amen. And so they witnessed to him, talked to him. They went there to talk about his religion, wound up talking about ours. Amen. He came to church one night, first time he'd ever been there. Never forget that. Man came down to the altar. Amen. Felt something. Felt the power of the Holy Ghost in that place. Went down. He had his hands just like a little boy getting ready to say his prayers at night. And went over to pray with him. He's already talking in tongues. God had already filled him with the Holy Ghost. God had already filled him with the Holy Ghost. God had already filled him with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I've seen little children 4 or 5 years old receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. People 70, 80 years old receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, folks, the power is still real. Amen. This gospel is still powerful. Don't you doubt it. Amen. That's the devil's choice. And that's the devil's business is try to get us to doubt the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If he does, we're done. That's it. That's all we've got. That's all we have. You know, but Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I don't have any money, but I got the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, have we got money today but don't have the power of the Holy Ghost? Let's don't sell this. Let's don't trade this. Let's don't get our eyes on the wrong thing. I've known people to pray for a millionaire. Forget the millionaire. Pray for a miracle. Amen. Pray for God's will. Amen. It seems to me like he said, give us this day our monthly, yearly retirement bread. Huh? No, that wasn't what he said. Give us this day our daily bread. Has he ever let you down? Amen. He's not going to. But you might just get it daily. Amen. Praise God. God never promised that this is going to be a wealthy church. I despise the prosperity doctrine. I think its roots are in greed. You look at the early church, it certainly was not a wealthy church. Matter of fact, for 200 years, as far as we know, they never even had a building to worship in that was called a church building. I'm telling you, folks, it's not about money. It's not about prestige. It's not about beautiful buildings. It's still about the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's how we started, and that's how we got to end it up. Amen. I'm not through, but I'm going to quit. Praise God. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Those apostles, man, they had been through some dark times. The Lord that they loved and put their faith in, their confidence, they watched him hang on a tree. And they watched his blood drain out of his body. They watched him gasp his last breath. They watched as his head hang down as spirit departed from his body. And their hopes died with him. 3 days later, their hopes were resurrected. When he met them in an upper room. Hallelujah. And he said, go to Galilee and you tarry there. Amen. Praise God. He said, I'm going to meet you there. Then we got to Galilee. He said, now I want you to go to Jerusalem. And tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Everybody say power. Power from on high. Power from on high. Power from on high. Amen. And he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they went in that upper room not knowing what they were expecting, but they tarried. And they tarried. And they tarried. And when the day of was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house wherein they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. And they spilled out on Solomon's porch. Amen. And they were worshiping. And they were praising God. And they were talking in tongues. And people heard them. Amen. And the Bible said they were all amazed. Everybody was amazed. Because they saw power. They saw a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Now some said started mocking and making fun. Amen. But everybody was amazed. Hear me. Some people are just going to make fun of you, but others are going to want what you got. Amen. Don't be afraid of ridicule. That's always the devil's first area of attack, is to ridicule if he can. That's what he tried to do to the apostles, wasn't it? They were ignorant and unlearned. But I love the next part. But they perceived they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah. There was some power in their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, for the promise is to you and your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And it's still happening today, Brother Hart. I just said it's still happening today. Amen. Praise God. It happened to anybody here lately? Amen. Anybody here had Holy Ghost experience lately? Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody experienced any power lately? Hey, anybody experienced any healing lately? Anybody experienced any resurrection power lately? Anybody here experienced any blessing lately? Anybody had any provision miraculously here lately? God done anything for anybody here lately? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. It's still real, folks. It's still real. It has not changed. It has not diminished. And it's not going to. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. What we need to do is just let more folks know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe we need to adapt to Paul's greeting. He saw folks coming. He said, hey, instead of saying, hey, y'all, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? What a greeting. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, we hadn't heard anything about it. He said, well, goodness, and how were you baptized? He just kind of jumped right to it, didn't he? Amen. Praise God. We want to be apostolic. So we want to be apostolic. That's apostolic. That's as apostolic as you can get. And boy, did he have results. Amen. All of them received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that day. Amen. We're baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I think it'd be good tonight if we'd just come and give the Lord a little thanks here tonight. For the Holy Ghost. Anybody, you got the Holy Ghost? You want the Holy Ghost? You want to be refreshed in the Holy Ghost? Amen. You need to come down here tonight and begin to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just begin to give God thanks. Amen. Just begin to worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus Christ, I want to thank you tonight for the power of the Holy Ghost in my life.